Do a little politicking?
I'll press your impudent son bitch.
You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yes. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Think of it, Junior.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9 as we get into this Tuesday, second day of the week. Hope everybody is now fully recovered from the Super Bowl, even though you may not be fully recovered. I know I'm not from that halftime show. That's neither here nor there. As the world turns once again, as things are getting moving and shaking up, especially now as the Hamas ceasefire seems to have its days numbered. Didn't last too long. But as they now as Israel as Hamas is threatening to withhold hostages, but we're going to cover that. What Hamas has said, what Israel said, and what Donald Trump has said, because Donald Trump has drawn a line in the sand. We're going to play that for you. But as we'll also show, we'll also talk about is that Trump is not someone to be messed with because he has kept all of his promises. We talked about the tariffs yesterday. We're going to talk about today how there is movement now of other countries sending planes to take our illegal immigrants back to where they belong. Again, something that Trump has pressured other countries to do. So we're going to talk about that as well. We also want to talk a little bit to revisit the U.S. aid story, which we haven't talked about in a few days, as we're getting more and more information. That's what's coming from there, including now information that there was actual terrorist organizations that were getting money from USAID. That's right. We were funding your taxpayer dollars, you know, all that money that comes out of your check when you see, you know, all those little things that come out of your check every paycheck. Yeah, that was going to paying some terrorist organizations. So we're going to talk about that as well. So you can see exactly just how corrupt that organization is. This idea of this is what happens also too when you have this idea of forced charity, which we've talked about here before. So we're going to talk about that as well. As always, you can find this or of course live streaming on YouTube and Rumble, and you can find our past episodes on regulatorsproductions.com where we have it. As I always talk about too, you can always call in during the break where you can see that on the live stream as well as afterwards on the podcast that's loaded up on that website as well, or your favorite podcast, you know, server, whatever your podcast service is. It is on almost all of them. Just search for The Full Story. So we got quite a show here. So we're going to go ahead and take our first break right here so we can get into those things. If you want to call the number 601-879-0002, but keep it tuned to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry again for the annoying bagpipes there that they tend to throw in, you know, every other week or so, just to wake you up, you know, just the piercing, ear bleeding sound of the worst instrument ever made. But let's continue on because we're talking about very, very bad things. Let's talk about Hamas. So, of course, Hamas and Israel, we talked at length, has teetering on the edge of a ceasefire for the last few weeks, where they have seen just a few Israeli hostages released for dozens and dozens and dozens of Palestinians. And now Hamas is running to renege on the deal as they delay to the next planned release of Israeli hostages from the Gaza Strip, which has jolted the fragile ceasefire that is going to probably flare up the war once again. So it as of course there are still 17 hostages yet to be released from Gaza under this phase of the ceasefire. So what they promised they would do, they say, oh, we're going to hold them up. And again, how surprising is this? It's like, did we really think that Hamas, the terrorist organization that says Israel should be wiped off the planet of the earth, would really go forward with it? I mean, is this really that surprising that they didn't follow through on their deal? I mean, I think it's like, is the sky blue? I mean, what did you, would we actually think this was ever going to work? So the next handover of the three hostages, so three more hostages were planned to be handed over on Saturday. The Palestinian says, we think we'll hold off on that. So Israel is having a security cabinet meeting this morning. It has been moved up in response to Hamas's announcement. The developments have also led to new fear in Gaza, where hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have surged to what remains of their homes in the territory. Of course, again, they think about, all right, they allowed you to come in, and the people that you want in there, Hamas, has reneged on their deal. It's like, who do you think is to blame for that, Palestinians? I mean, how much longer are you going to follow these people in? The uncertainty, which is just over halfway into the ceasefire's six-week first phase, complicates talks on the second phase, which, again, was never really put in place. It's like, oh, we got to figure out the second phase as the first phase goes on. And which what I said a couple weeks ago is that, well, that means the second phase is never going to happen. And that's what looks like it's going to play out. It's like we're never going to have a second phase. So this is probably also going to jeopardize the humanitarian aid in Gaza, which, again, why are you guys, this is something, this is a problem that you have caused. Hamas has accused Israel of not holding up to its end of the deal by initially delaying the return of Palestinians to northern Gaza over an earlier dispute. Israel didn't do that because Hamas still wasn't living up to its deal. And they also said they're carrying out strikes across the country and hindering the entry of humanitarian aid. No, what they're hindering is the entry of your weapons. The militant group, because Hamas quickly reasserted control over Gaza when the ceasefire began on January 19th, and said the next hostage release would be delayed until further notice. So as soon as Israel lifted the ceasefire started, Hamas immediately took over again in the Gaza Strip. And again, if that's the case, you're never going to have peace. As long as they're in control, you will never, ever have peace. So again, they'll agree to give away a few hostages just so they get back to their strongholds, which they did. And now they're going to, now once they're back in there, it's all of a sudden, we're not going to give you any more. I think we've given you enough now. We're back to where we need to be. Thanks for that, you idiots. We're going to enjoy our time here, and we're not going to give over any more hostages. That's essentially how it played out, which again, is it really that surprising, honestly? Like in the day, like, no, that's not surprising even in the least bit. So Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz, that's right, the Israeli Defense Minister, his first name is Israel. That's brilliant, by the way. It's like having a president whose name is America. His first name's America. I guess America would be a female name. So if we had a female president, her first name be America. Anyway, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz called the delay a complete violation of the ceasefire agreement, and he instructed the military to be on highest alert. The prime minister's coordinator for hostages said the government intends to live up to its end of the deal. A later Hamas statement called the postponement a warning signal to Israel and noted that 5 days remained for mediators, which includes the United States, Qatar, and Egypt, to pressure Israel to act. They said the door remains open for the exchange to proceed as planned if Israel abides by its obligations, sure. And again, it's all Israel has to act. Israel has to do what they need to do. Israel has to do this, but not the terrorist organization. No, they do whatever they want. Right, it was the ones who got attacked. It was the one with the superior military, with the superior military capabilities. They're the ones who have to be pressured to do something. Something doesn't make much sense to me on that. There has been no public reach from the mediators except for Donald Trump, who has said all hell will break loose. So let me play for you. What Donald Trump has said on the matter.
Does it delay that, sir? Should the ceasefire then be off? Well, I would say this, and I'm going to let that be because that's Israel's decision. But as far as I'm concerned, if all of the hostages aren't returned by Saturday at 12 o'clock, I think it's an appropriate time. I would say cancel it and all bets are off and let hell break out. I'd say they ought to be returned by 12 o'clock on Saturday. And if they're not returned, all of them, not in drips and drabs, not two and one and three and four and two. Saturday at 12 o'clock. And after that, I would say all hell is going to break out. And I don't think they're going to do it. I think a lot of them are dead. I think a lot of the hostages are dead. I think it's a great human tragedy what's happened, how people can be that mean to do.
Mr. President, when you say all hell is going to break loose, are you speaking about retaliation from
Find out, okay. And they'll find out, too. Hamas will find out what I mean.
Mr. President,
they're going to find out what I mean. These are sick people, and they'll find out what I mean Saturday at 12 o'clock.
But no involvement with you.
All right. What do you mean by all hell is going to break loose? They're going to find out. I just love that answer. They'll find. Yeah, he said you'll find out soon too. They're going to find out what all hell breaks loose means. And I think that means is that we're going to say Israel, have fun, right? We're just going to say do what you need to do, Israel. And we'll just watch in amusement as you completely obliterate Hamas and finally wipe them off the planet of the earth, because there's anybody who can wipe anybody off the planet of the earth. It's Israel wiping Hamas off. That's really the only answer to any of this. So far they have only released 33 hostages, over the last, over the first 3 weeks, right? That's all they've released. And when we've getting these back, they've been talking about, just how bleak and dangerous the conditions are for these hostages. So relatives of the newly released hostages have described people being chained or held underground for months and eating a half piece of pita per day. And freed hostages have described going months without showering. So they're treating these people like trash. And you know, at a certain point, how many of them are still alive is still a question that is still out there. But you know, how can you, you know, when you see how they treat these people, how they've treat these hostages, how can you be any kind of nice to them? It kind of reminds me, you know, back in Vietnam, we had all of our service members being tortured. And it's a little bit different there because those were actual soldiers. These are civilians that were taken, which is even worse. But these soldiers, you know, that were just tortured in Vietnam, and we just let them sit there, right? We never actually went to try to get them. We finally had a hostage. We finally had an exchange in the early 1970s when some had been there for 8 or 9 years. It was just absolutely pitiful from our government. And finally, you know, it took Richard Nixon, a Republican, to finally get those guys out of there. But the Democrats just let those guys sit there. And the same thing here is like, you know, what at a certain point, it's like, look, we can't allow them to do that. We may lose some hostages along the way. But what kind of life are they living anyway? They're going to be killed regardless by Hamas. So it's about time we just, you know, we'll just go in there hard and loud, or Israel goes in there hard and loud, I should say, and just completely obliterate them and go into all of their little holes and then absolutely kill every single one of them and just exterminate them. That's the only way that you can do it. And as I said here, you know, as soon as they just like I said when this ceasefire first happened, all the ceasefire does is prolong the inevitable. It's just going to allow Hamas to regroup and rearm, and that's exactly what they've done. I mean, literally just moments after the ceasefire started and Israel pulled out, Hamas moved back in. And they've moved right back in power. And again, I don't know, you know, like I said, I've talked about approval ratings of Hamas from the Palestinian people, which is, you know, as of about a year ago when the war was ramping up, it was still like 80%. And at that point, it's like, you guys are just idiots. You know, if you're going to, I mean, that's like a Democrat voter, honestly. You keep voting in you want these people that are doing that, if that's true, right? Because part of me is like, well, what if those Palestinians there are just forced by this terrorist group, right? Which again, as I've said before, is that, you know, ridding the Gaza Strip of Hamas would be nothing but beneficial to those people. But this also comes, talking about those Palestinian people, as Trump says, has continued on with saying that the Gaza Strip could be used for the United States as a real estate development for the future, and reiterated for the United States to have a long-term ownership in the Gaza Strip at some point in the future. He said with an exclusive interview with Bret Baier, Fox News' Bret Baier, yesterday. Trump said that the great people in the Middle East could potentially fund the reconstruction process inside the war-torn enclave after Israel ends its war with Hamas, which, again, all started when they killed 1,200 people and took 250 hostages. Like, never forget that number, because those are civilians. You know, these are people going to a concert, just living their lives. So never forget, like I said, think about that if that's your country, right? If someone just went into your hometown and killed 1,200 people in your hometown and took 250 of your people's hostages, would you just sit back? Would you say, oh man, let's negotiate with them? Or would you say, no, let's all get arms and let's go obliterate these guys, right? We gotta show them that you can't do this to us. And if you do this to us, there will be severe and dire consequences, and there's nothing that will hold us back. That's how we are as Americans, right? You know, after, it turned into something much worse and later on down the line. But right after 9/11, right, like, people were arming themselves up. They were joining the army in groves and say, hey, let's go take these SOBs out, right? You attack us, we'll show you how this works, right? And that's what I've said with Israel, is just let them take their revenge, right? Let them take, and it's not just about revenge, right? You know, revenge is a sweet piece of it, right? It's a part that feels good. It feels good for the soldiers and it feels good for the people, but it's also, like I said, it's for the betterment of the area, unlike with us, right? With, our invasions of Iraq and everything else, which were, not the best decision. We kind of took it too far in that we weren't really getting revenge on the people who planned 9/11. At a certain point, it took a weird turn. But also, again, the whole problem we've always had is the killing part has always come easy. It's the what do we do after we destroy them part that becomes hard, and especially in the Middle East. And we weren't the only ones. Russia had the same, or Soviet Union had the same problem in Afghanistan too, when they tried to do it. We've tried to institute governments that they just don't understand over there, and it's just not their culture. And we can't expect them to live to our culture, and therefore it fails. And we spend years and years and years, have people get killed on things that will never last. So that was kind of the problem we had over there. But Israel doesn't quite have that problem because their country's already there, right? Gaza Strip is a very small piece of territory that's already within their territory. So it's not like they have to go, manage or govern a foreign territory. It's literally within their country, right? That'd be like one city for us, right? It's small, so it's like let's just say the strip of Gulf Coast in Mississippi, right? Mississippi is a country, and yet just a strip of Gulf Coast is taken over. It wouldn't be that hard for us, if Mississippi was a country, to say, all right, we're going to take over the strip of the Gulf Coast, right? That's essentially what it is, and it's the same types of people. So it's not like it'd be that difficult for Israel to not only destroy them, but to then govern that area. When Donald Trump was asked whether Palestinians would have a right to return to Gaza, he answered that the people of Gaza wouldn't because they will have much better. He said, I'm talking about building a permanent place for them. A key issue was relocating those Palestinians to neighboring countries where reconstruction is ongoing. In the two places, major place that he talked about is Egypt. And Egypt announced over the weekend that will host an emergency Arab summit in Cairo at the end of the month to address the new and dangerous developments in the Palestinian issue, according to the statement released by the country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Trump said he believes he can ultimately make a deal with Egypt and Jordan because the United States gives them billions of dollars in aid. And that's what I've talked about. We give a lot, especially to Egypt. We give billions and billions of dollars to Egypt. It's kind of crazy. Egypt is one of the biggest countries that are recipients of our foreign aid and assistance. A lot of it, a big chunk of it goes to Egypt. I think even more than Ukraine, believe it or not. While I'm talking about that, let me look up the exact number as we talk. It's great. Like I said, when you have that, that means that you have something to have over them, right? Let's see here. So just last year, this is a Reuters report. Just last year we gave Egypt $1.3 billion in military aid to Egypt, and that was just last year, that's the Biden administration at the time overrode human rights conditions on military aid. Originally they had, hey, we'll give you this aid if you treat your people better, and then the Biden administration's like, you know what, we'll take that away, we'll just give you the money regardless, and that's a typical Biden thing, right? We'll just give everybody money, no conditions whatsoever, as long as I get a payback, right? As long as I get my kickback, I'm good, right? I don't care how you treat your people. Something that we've been doing with Israel, and what Donald Trump says is that, hey, you got this money. Unless you want that money to stop, you're going to do what we say. Because guess what? We're going to have heavy conditions on that money. Or you can not take it. It's up to you. Right? And like I said, that's one thing. Again, a big difference between how that stuff is happening. Egypt was actually the third largest country to how much aid they were getting. Israel being first at $3.3 billion total. That's military total aid would go to Ukraine, which is $17 billion. That's just crazy. $17 billion we've given to Ukraine. That's a whole different story whatsoever. But like I said, that was just $1.3 billion in military aid that we gave them last year. That's just absolutely, again, that's why we're doing that. I mean, I understand make sure we have allies in the area. But if we're not getting anything from that, if we're not getting an ally in the area, if we're just giving it to them just to give it to them, and then they can tell us, we don't want to do what you say, then no. All of our money comes with conditions, right? And again, I'm not totally against giving other people money. Again, as long as we get something out of it, right? As long as that's an investment, as Donald Trump talks about, as long as there's a return on investment in that money, then I'm okay with that, right? If us giving $1.5 billion to Egypt means that we have essentially a base of operations in the Middle East and Northern Africa, then I'm all for that. I think that's a fair deal. But you can't us give you money and you say, we're not going to do what you want. That's not how it works, my friend. That's not how money works. That's not how humans work. We give you money, you do what we say, sort of like a prostitute, whore, Egypt, we're going to, I give you money, you do what I tell you to do, right? It's real simple. That's essentially how that works, and that's how you have to. Treat them. What Donald Trump said, he says, we will build beautiful communities for the 1.9 million people, safe communities. It could be five, six, could be two, but we'll be safe communities a little bit away from where they are. So, and we got a call coming in here. We'll see who that is. You're on the full story. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So take a trip down the rabbit hole with me real quick.
Okay.
What's the quickest way to get the right answer?
The quickest way to get to the right answer? I don't know. What is it?
By posting the wrong answer online. So what if Donald Trump gives the worst option for the United States to take over the Gaza Strip, forcing the hand of the Arab nations to come together to figure out their own answer because they don't want us in their backyard? Therefore, Donald Trump gets the answer he wants. We don't put boots on the ground, and we force the Arab nations to solve a problem that they created.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. You know, we've talked about that with Donald Trump before on essentially using psyops, or, you know, saying something, you know, aggressive like that to get people to move. That's an interesting take, and I think it's, you know, it's definitely something within Donald Trump's wheelhouse for sure.
Exactly. Just friendly thought. You have a great show. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. No, that is an interesting point. We talked about that, I think, just last week with Donald Trump, and because Donald Trump, you know, he says because one thing, because for stuff like that to work, you have to actually follow through, right? And so, for instance, Donald Trump saying, I'm going to put a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum. People say, oh, he's crazy, he won't do it, and then he actually does it. So when he says other things, right, like, oh, crap, you know, he'll actually do these things. So, you know, that kind of builds up your idea that, hey, I'm going to pressure people by saying, hey, we're going to do this. And they're like, man, he's actually crazy enough to do it. But again, not actually planning to do it, but to use it as a psyops opportunity, which is, I think, a unique way of handling things. And it's something that he is definitely within his wheelhouse for sure. Okay. So let's go ahead and take our next break right here. When we get back, I want to talk about, some of the U.S. aid that has been going to designated terrorist groups. Pretty crazy story. If you want to call in during the break, number 601-879-0002, but keep it tuned here to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9. And just to follow up one thing with that, with the callers, that we actually talked about that exact issue last week, about how Trump is using the idea of taking over Gaza as a ruse, or essentially a psyops operation. We have a video called Reality or Ruse regarding Trump's announcement, because I do think that, again, that's a excellent way to kind of get people scared in their britches a little bit, to think that, hey, the United States may come up in here and start taking over. And again, you have to, if you do that, if you're going to have a bluff, though, you have to be able to have, as I talked about in that video, you have to be able to have the actual cards every so often. And so far, right, in the last few weeks, every promise that Donald Trump has said, he has followed through with. And that includes this most recent one, which is when he said that other people will take their illegal migrants back. And so this now comes as Venezuela is now sending planes to take over, to take hundreds of their own illegal migrants back to their own country. So two planes sent by Venezuela returned home Monday with nearly 200 Venezuelans who were in the U.S. illegally as part of President Trump's mass deportation plans. The 190 illegal immigrants returned to Venezuela signals a possible ease in tensions between the two longtime adversaries and a win for the Trump administration as it seeks to have countries take back their citizens found in the U.S. without operation. The airline flights arrived in the Venezuelan capital of Caracas from Fort Bliss, which is in El Paso, Texas. Trump envoy Richard Grenell, who oversaw the deportations, wrote on X, quote, two planes of illegal immigrants left El Paso today, headed to Venezuela, paid for by the Venezuelans. So again, it's Donald Trump following through with a promise that he had had from his campaign. And so large numbers of Venezuelans began arriving to the southern border in 2021, you know, when Kamala Harris was border czar, and are still among the nationalities with the most people entering the U.S. illegally, which has made Venezuela's refusal to accept the return a major hurdle. But that all changed after Grenell visited Caracas just a few weeks ago. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro said, "This is the world we want, a world of peace, understanding, dialogue, and cooperation." The Venezuelan government confirmed the flights earlier on Monday, criticizing in a statement the ill-intentioned and false narrative surrounding the presence of gang members in the U.S. But again, they are taking exactly what Donald Trump said they would. But that's only 200. We got, you know, a couple million more to worry about. But it's a good start, right? It shows that change of how people are handling the Trump administration. You have the Venezuelan guy say, "We're not taking anybody." To Donald Trump says, "Yeah, you are, and you're going to pay for it." And that's exactly what has happened. And like I said, that's what bolsters this idea when Trump says, "Hey, I'll take over Gaza." That says maybe he will do it, right? That gives them that impression. And that's what you have to have successful psychological operations, to have successful utilizing those types of techniques. You have to every once in a while go follow through. And so far, Trump has followed through on everything. So that really, really scares them. And I do think, though, his announcement earlier that I talked about, where he pretty much said, "Hey, all the hostages returned by noon on Saturday or all hell will break loose." I do think that's not a bluff. That is very much of, "We're going to step aside for Israel and let them completely destroy you." But also, too, the next story I want to talk about goes to, again, this idea of with Donald Trump stopping Donald Trump actually looking at the federal government, looking at what our spending is, you know, sending DOGE in. And again, a big one has been USAID, which we talked about last week. And, you know, the Democrats have been all up in arms. They've tried to stop. They've had federal courts try to force Donald Trump to give money, force the federal government to give money to USAID, which legally I don't see how they can do that, because, again, the executive branch controls how the spending is done. Congress tells them how much they can spend, and then the federal government then determines how to spend it. Again, you can see that with the Biden administration during his term, right, just refusing to honor border security laws and just not doing it, not doing the money as they should down there. So again, that's very typical. It's not that unusual, but of course, you know, they are all up in arms about it. But now we've been learned that designated terrorist extremist groups have been raking in millions from USAID, according to a multi-year study. So United States Agency for International Development, again, USAID, provided millions of dollars in funding to extremist groups tied to designated terrorist organizations and their allies, according to a report published by the Middle East Forum, which is a U.S. think tank. The think tank wrote its report, published on February 4th, quotes that they uncovered $164 million of approved grants to radical organizations, with at least $122 million going to groups aligned with designated terrorists and their supporters. They said billions more of federal dollars have been given to leading American aid charities, which have consistently failed to vet their terror-tied local partners and show little interest in improving their practices, to the apparent indifference of the federal government. The Middle East Forum's report focuses specifically on funds from USAID and the State Department that wound up in the hands of radical groups and organizations tied to terrorism. The think tank reported that among its top findings, USAID was found to have given more than $900,000 to a Gaza-based terror charity called Bayadar Association for Environment and Development. The funding began in 2016, and its most recent allocation was made just days before Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, 2023. Biodor, that company, describes itself as a non-governmental organization, these NGOs that we've talked about quite a bit, that works to build a civil society on the Gaza Strip. They were founded in 2007, shortly after Hamas's takeover of the Gaza Strip, and operates in close cooperation with the Hamas regime. Its 2021 annual report notes coordination and meetings with Hamas's Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Works, Ministry of Social Affairs, and Ministry of Agriculture. So he's exactly linked to Hamas, and we were given millions of dollars to this group that was linked to Hamas, who then eventually had the October 7th attack. And that's your money, ladies and gentlemen. That's money from your paycheck. All that big money that comes out went to this organization. This is just one, right? This is just one that we just mentioned, that we found. They said USAID coordinates directly with Biodor, and officials have praised Biodar's work on social media and even visited their offices, where one senior USAID official named Jonathan Kamen received an award from the terror-linked charity. Can't make this up. The report also found that USAID approved a $12.5 million grant in 2024 to the American Near East Refugee Agency, which is also a long-standing partner of Biodor. So not only giving money to them directly, but giving money to organizations that are associated with them. So indirectly giving them money as well. The report found that staffers with the NGO have repeatedly and publicly posted violent ideas without apparent censure from top charity officials. The comments on social media posted by employees include calling on God to erase the Jews, expressing support for the brave prisoners in Israeli jails during the Hamas and Israel war, and describing October 7th, 2023 as, quote, a beautiful morning. That's exactly where these people are coming from. Again, this is your tax laws. As we're starting to look at USAID, right? And this is just some, you know, examples that we're getting. You're just coming more and more and more. And as I talked about before, I'm all for charity as much as the next person. But this idea of forced charity, this is exactly what happens, is that you don't know where your money's going. If you want to give to charity, you should be able to give to charity that you want to give to. And you can look up and do your own research to make sure that charity group that you're giving to is a legitimate charity, that they're spending money on the causes they're supposed to be spent on, and they're not run by extremist groups, right? I mean, that should be a baseline. But when it's forced charity, when it's going to, there's no accountability for these people, and they just go ahead and spend this money, have fun, do acts that are against the United States and against our interests and against our allies. And there's nothing that you can do about it, because if you don't pay your taxes, you know, you get fined and everything else. So the days of that are numbered. The days of that are soon to be over, as Donald Trump has taken over, just as he promised. All right, we're going to take our last break right here. When we get back, we'll do This Day in History. But keep it tuned to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9 as we get to This Day in History. So on this day, February 11th, 1812, gerrymandering was born. So Massachusetts Governor Eldridge Gerry oversaw the passage by the state legislature of a new map of state Senate districts. Gerry was opposed to the new, highly partisan districting scheme, but signed the bill anyway. A journalist soon caught wind of the arrangement and compared the shape of one of the districts to that of a salamander, how they're kind of, you know, S-shaped, coining the term Gerry from Eldridge Gerry, Mander from salamander, gerrymander. Gerry lost his reelection race partially as a result of the negative coverage, but partisan redistricting has been called gerrymandering ever since, and it still goes on to this day. In fact, we were just discussing that with the local Republican Party on this weird district in the supervisor district, which really has one of the districts wrap around Ridgeland. It's a really crazy district, literally, clearly a gerrymandered district. I saw that and reminded me of that as we had just discussed that at that meeting. All right, guys, that's all I have for you guys today. We will not be in tomorrow. I have to go up to Washington, D.C. for 24 hours and back. Always fun to go up to D.C. But after that, we will be back here on Thursday, bright and early. As always, you can find our past shows on regulatorsproductions.com. But until then, my name is Matthew Bishop, and you've heard the full story.